Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. Appreciate that. I'm enjoying these songs tonight and this morning and get me right in that Christmas spirit they talk about. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just want to take a moment to thank Brother Larry Harper. Last two Sundays, he's filled in for me, and I appreciate so much his willing heart and his servant's attitude, and so we're so grateful for him filling in. And then I also thank Brother Steve for filling in this past Wednesday night as we were still recovering from our sickness. And so it's good to know that the church is in good hands whenever I can't be here, and I hate missing church. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but I hate missing church. And there's this difference between here and the previous church that I pastored. The previous church I pastored, I had no backup. There was no pinch hitter. It was either me or there was not much of anything, unfortunately. I had to steal from other churches to find someone, and so because of that, I didn't have the liberty to miss. And I don't like missing anyway because I love preaching. That's what God's called me to do. But I'm just thankful for Brother Larry Harper and Brother Steve as they have filled in while we were away and then while we were sick. But it's good to be back tonight. Please grab your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 this evening. And if you'll follow along with me as I read the first four verses of this chapter. A few weeks ago, we taught a brief lesson in Sunday school on Samuel. But tonight, I just want to take a phrase from a verse here and preach on it. Before we start reading the verses, I just want to give you a little bit of background. This sermon was born at least 2-3 months ago, and I jotted down and just a quick thought of the truth and filed it away for when I felt it was the right time to preach it. And so I believe tonight's the right time to preach it, and I just want to say my heart's heavy. It's really heavy, and I just want to talk to you more as a pastor to people tonight and just share a little bit of my burden in my heart. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. In verse number 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." That word precious doesn't mean what we would think it would mean in an exact sense. I mean, it still would in some way mean what we would think of precious. But the word precious there actually means rare. And so sometimes things that are rare can be precious, but sometimes things that are rare are not precious. They're despised. So the context there is that the word of the Lord was precious, but it was rare. In other words, because it was so rare to hear from God, it was precious whenever you did hear from God. I guess that's the point that the Spirit of God is trying to get across here. And so he says there that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So it was not like you and I, who have a completed Bible before us. There was very limited speaking from the voice of God. Verse number 2, he says, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." So we're not going to go through this entire story, and most of you are very familiar with it, but here is the state of Israel. They're at a point where the word of God is rare. God's not speaking very often. They've come to a point in their history as a nation where they're really living in darkness, living in rebellion. They're living away from God. They've become a griping and murmuring people. They've forgotten the great deliverance from Egypt and how God led them through the wilderness. And they've come to a place in their history where it's truly a dark time in the nation of Israel. And symbolically, we see in verse 3 this phrase, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Tonight I want to preach on this thought, the lamp of God went out. The lamp of God went out. Let's pray, oh God, help us tonight. May it never be said about this church that the lamp of God went out. May it never be said about individuals in this church where the lamp of God has gone out. Oh God in heaven, we pray for your touch. We pray for the Spirit of God. Fill us tonight. Oh God, help us as we preach your word to have a tenderness and a calmness, but yet a firmness that we must beware lest that lamp of God goes out. And I pray tonight that you would guide us, Lord. You know my heart, and I want to be clear. I want to be precise. I don't want to be run by emotions. But Lord, I want you to have your way in our service. Please help us tonight as we speak, as we preach, as we talk, as people and pastor alike. We just sit down and around the fireplace and have a little chat. I pray that you bless our time. May it be profitable. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's interesting here. It says that the lamp of God went out in the temple. Actually, Solomon's temple has not been built at this point, and so it's referring to the temple tabernacle. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses was given the blueprints, the plans for a tabernacle that would be a movable tent that they would carry to different locations and different places, and that was a building that housed several pieces of furniture. You had the laver, they had the table of showbread, you had the candlestick in the Holy of Holy places, you had the Ark of the Covenant, but it was a special place, it was a holy place, and it was a place where God's presence dwelt in the Holy of Holy place. And Eli, as a priest, was in charge of taking care of that place and upkeeping it and doing the work of the Levitical priesthood. And of course, we know that Samuel has been dedicated to the ministry here by his mom, Hannah, at this point. And so Eli is training Samuel how to be a priest and how to do the work there in the temple / tabernacle. And it says here in verse number 2, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see." Eli had gotten a little bit older in years, and his eyesight wasn't as good as it used to be, and so it was more difficult for him to see. And then it says, "The lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Now, speaking of a specific lamp, the candlestick that was in that holy place that would light up that part of that tent. So it's speaking of a physical lamp. But symbolically, we see the truth here. As a nation, this was a sign to the nation of Israel, what had taken place in their nation. They were as a nation where the lamp of God, the light of God, had been put out, snuffed out. It's kind of frightening to think about that God's chosen people can come to a place where they're walking in spiritual blindness. The lamp of God has gone out. Tonight, I'm burdened for some people in our church. I truly am. Now, don't come and ask me who it is, because I won't tell you, but I'm burdened for some people. I see things that maybe normal people don't see, and it's not because I'm anything special, because God has gifted men with the ability to pastor, and he's given pastors a perception. He's also given pastors a love. He's given pastors a love for people. And I'm burdened for some people in our church tonight, of every age group, even down to our children. I'm burdened. You see, Israel's condition had gotten so bad that they no longer had any direction. They had no light. The lamp of God went out in the temple. But in that nation, there was still one young boy with a tender heart. There was a young man who had a heart for God. There was a young man who loved God with all his heart. There was a young man who dedicated his entire life to serve God. And his name was Samuel. And we see this tender-hearted young boy is going to hear from the very Creator of the universe. He's going to hear the voice of God. That same voice that was rare or precious in those days. There was no open vision, but God's going to speak. And he's going to speak to a young boy who had a tender heart. There was still a tender-hearted boy whom God knew would listen. And I want to encourage you tonight, the most important thing you have is
that spiritual heart. That's why the book of Proverbs tells us to guard our heart in all things, for out of it are the issues of life. God works not with our mind, but with our heart. And then it goes from our heart to our mind, not the other way around. Satan likes to work with our mind, mess us up there. God works with our heart. And it's so important. The most important thing you can do for yourself and for those around you and for your Christian life is to keep a tender heart. Don't let it go cold. Don't let it get hard. Don't let the light go out. The lamp of God went out in the temple, and yet God spoke, and a tender-hearted boy would respond. Tonight, when the light goes out in the temple, there's some consequences or results of that. In the book of Psalm 119, that great psalm about the Word of God, it's all about the Word of God. It uses several different terms to describe the Word of God. But in Psalm 119, verse 105, you're very familiar with this verse. I probably say more than half of you haven't maybe memorized. It says this, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God is the lamp of God. And when the lamp of God goes out, when the Word of God is no longer important and is no longer obeyed and followed, it's a dark, dark day in the heart of a Christian, in the heart of a church, in the heart of a nation. I'm so burdened, not just for our church, but I'm burdened for almost every church that I know. There's maybe only a few churches. Now, of course, I don't know all the churches, but there's only a few churches that are really, in my estimation, experiencing revival, experiencing the outpouring of the blessings of God upon their life. But the majority of Christianity is in a sad, sad condition tonight. And I'm not trying to be negative, and I'm just trying to be a realist. Our Christianity is in danger tonight. We're seeing it. We've seen the lamp of God has gone out in churches. It's gone out in homes. It's gone out in individual lives. The lamp of God. People no longer hear and see the Word of God. And they're as people wandering in the darkness with no direction. There's no light. The lamp of God went out in the temple. The lamp of God goes out when we don't do what the Bible says. The lamp of God goes out when we're a hearer of the Word but not a doer of the Word. When we don't do what the Bible says, our heart is being darkened, and it's a slow process, and we don't even realize it. And we'll get to a point where nothing moves us anymore. We don't hear God's voice anymore. There's no more conviction. The Spirit of God is not personally talking to us. We've been in a position where we've seen churches close, and it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing when the light goes out in a church. May that never happen here. I pray it never happens here. But if it does, it'll be because it went out in our hearts first. We won't be able to blame it on anybody else, but ourselves. And that will happen if we don't do what the Bible says. Secondly, when the light goes out in the temple, we have no effect on the dark world that we live in. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, Jesus, of course, is given the parable of the sermon, or not the parable, he's given the sermon of the on the mount. He's preaching a sermon. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, this is what the Lord says. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, when the lamp of God goes out in the heart and the life of a Christian, we have no influence. We have no effect on this dark world we're living in. When our light goes out, when our light is hid because of disobedience, when our light is hid because we're just casual with our Christianity, that light has no effect. The world doesn't see our light. It's not shining like it should. And so they don't glorify our Father in heaven, because there's no light within us. When the light goes out in the temple, we have no effect on this dark world. Next, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 19. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 says this, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We are the temple of God. And when the light goes out in the temple, the presence of God is not clearly seen and felt in our lives. We're the temple of God. And only those who are like Samuel, who are tender-hearted and who are open to the word of the Lord, will hear the voice of God. But the majority of Christians will not hear that voice any longer. Why? Because they've allowed the light to go out. They've allowed that flame to die out. We don't hear from God anymore. And as a result of that, the fourth thing takes place. We grow cold in our love. Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end times. It's the great Olivet Discourse. And he's talking about what it'll be like at the end of days, time of the end. And in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 12, he says this, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The love of many shall wax cold. Sadly, that's the day and age we're living in. Churches are cold. They're dry. They've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. It's just a religion. It's a game to some Christians. It's not life or death. It's not important. It's just a matter of convenience in a lot of Christians' hearts. In this day and age, I truly believe that we're in the last days. We're seeing the falling away. We're seeing the apostate nature. And we're seeing Christians who are being weeded out because they never truly were of God. When iniquity abounds, which comes from not doing what the Bible says, which comes from having no effect on this dark world, and we grow cold in our love and iniquity. How's your heart tonight? How's your heart tonight? Is your heart on fire for God? Is there a passion beating in your breast that says, "God, I love you. I want to do something special for you. There's nothing that you could ask me to do that would be too much." Is there a fire? Is there a fervency in your heart? It says, "God, you're so great. You're so awesome. You've done so much for me that it's just an honor, privilege to do anything for you." Where's that fire? Where's that burning? We need a revival. In our country, we need a revival in our churches. We need a revival in our homes. We need a revival in our Christian hearts. Our hearts have grown cold. They're hard. There's no tenderness. Oh, I plead with you tonight. Your heart is the most important thing. Don't let it get hard. Don't let it get stiff. Keep it tender. Keep it tender. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Your conscience ought to bother you as a Christian. And if it's not, then either it's because you're perfect, which I highly doubt because none of us have reached that, or that you've ignored the Spirit of God for so long that he's no longer pricking your conscience. But our conscience has to be tender. Jesus dealt so graciously with a man from Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a place that was just hard. Hard-hearted place. And they didn't want to listen to anything Jesus had to say. They just denied his teaching and his preaching. And as a result of it, Jesus said, "Okay, then I'm writing you off. Judgment's coming. You want to reject the truth?" Then he pronounced judgment on that city. But in that city, there was a tender-hearted blind man. And Jesus saw one man in that city. He said, "I'm going to use him. I'm going to have compassion on him. I'm going to love him." There's a man that had a tender heart. It's so important we have this tender heart in our lives. The day living for the Lord becomes casual, there's so much danger. The day we become indifferent about the things of God. I know I haven't been here long, but I've seen an indifferent spirit towards the church house. I've seen it as, well, if church is convenient, then I'll go to it. If it's not, then... But I haven't seen a preeminence amongst some people. And that burdens me. That burdens me, not for anything, for any sake, but for your own sake. And I know there could be many reasons and excuses, but like someone once said, Excuses are like socks. Everybody has them and they stink, okay? I know we can make excuses, but when you're in love and passionate and on fire and you've got this desire to be with the Lord, then anytime the church doors are open, there's an eagerness to get there. And this message truly came to my mind to be preached Wednesday night ago. We had bad winds that night. It was bad, and the power went out. The lamp of God went out in the church house. Be honest with you, I'm admitting my fault. I was unprepared. I was unprepared. I didn't even think of that as a possibility of happening. And as a result, we weren't equipped with what we needed to have a service. And that bothered me. I mean, it tore me up. I need you to know something about me as a pastor. To me, church is life or death. To me, church is important, and it's something that we ought to make preeminent in our life. To me, church ought to be the number one list on our week of things to do. Above work, above games, above hobbies, above family. What did the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what I believe. Now, if you don't believe that, then I pray that someday you'll get there. But I believe from the teaching of the Word of God, church ought to be preeminent in our lives. Why? Because it was the precious blood, Jesus Christ, that purchased it. Not the building, but the assembling of believers together. That's why it ought to be important. That's why it ought to be the highlight of your week. That's why it ought to be something that you say, I'm not going to miss it unless I'm in a casket or unless I'm in a hospital bed or unless I'm contagious, I'm going to be in church. That's ought to be the mindset of a Christian. Why? Because the precious blood of Jesus Christ provided us with this great organization called the local New Testament church. I believe in the preeminence of the church so much that back in New York, when we had all those restrictions come out during COVID time, we decided we're still having church. We didn't miss one service. We didn't close down. Just so you know the kind of pastor you got, I'd rather go to jail for having church than to close down. I'd rather El Gayan. And we had those restrictions just as bad in New York as you probably had them here. But we said, we're not closing. Now, I know where you were a rural church, so we kind of flew under the radar, but I didn't do it by circumstances. I did it by principle. God said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so when someone tells me to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, I obey God rather than man. So that's the kind of pastor you got. I believe in church. I believe it's the most important thing in our lives, and it's preeminent, and I hate canceling church. And that's why Wednesday night, when the lamp of God went out because of the winds and the trees, branches falling, or whatever happened to cause the power to go out here at our church, it bothered me. Like I said, this message was 2 or 3 months ago that God gave it to me. And I believe tonight He wants me to share it with you. Let's make sure we're not indifferent towards church. Let's make sure we're not casual in our Christianity. Let's make sure we don't fall into this mindset, we'll go to church when it's convenient, and when it's not, then we'll do what we want to do. Because that's the beginning. That's the beginning of that downward slide into darkness. Now, in the same aspect, there are people that go to church who are there physically, but they're not there mentally or emotionally. They're just sitting in a pew, but they're not there. They don't even want to be there, some of them. But they're there. Dangerous. So dangerous. Church ought to be important. And occasionally we'll have people just, and I'm not trying to step on toes tonight, but we'll have people just get up during the middle of a service and leave. I think that's disrespect. Not towards me, because it's not about me. Church is a place where the Holy Spirit wants to talk and speak to a person. So when someone gets up and walks out, they're not walking away from a sermon that I'm preaching. They're walking away from a conversation that the Holy Spirit is trying to have with them. And I think that's disrespectful to the Lord, to His precious Holy Spirit. But that's the kind of, that reflects an attitude. It reflects a mindset and a condition of a heart that, you know, if the preacher goes 5 minutes longer, then I'm out of here. God help us. If we ever get to that point in our lives where we go to church because it's just something that we do, it'll never be a religion. religion. It always ought to be a relationship. And you ought to come to church because you know that you're going to speak, you're going to hear from God. You're going to spend time with the Lord. It's His house. Let's not grow cold in our love. I said my heart is burdened tonight. My heart's burdened for you. My heart's burdened for another church, Flatbrook, which looks like will end up shutting their doors. My heart's breaking, burdened. But I'm more burdened for our church tonight. There's nothing I can do about Flatbrook, but there is something I can do about our church. We must keep our heart tender. Do not let the lamp of God go out. The word of God is as a fire. Jeremiah said it so well in chapter 20 of Jeremiah. In verse number 9, he talks about how the word of God was as a fire burning in his soul. He said in verse number 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay." The word of God was a burning fire. Tonight, don't let the lamp of God go out in your life. Make this book the most important possession in your life. Make this church the most important place in your life. And make the Holy Spirit the most important person in your life. Keep a tender heart. Don't let Satan destroy that heart of yours to where you get to a point where the lamp of God has gone out. Oh, that's one of the things I fear. I never want to get to the point where God writes upon my life, Ichabod, the glory's gone out. I don't want to get there. I want to be as passionate when I'm 70 years of age as I was when I was 20 years of age. I don't want to lose that fire. I don't want to lose that zeal. I don't want to lose that passion. God has called us to a work. God has called us to a purpose. For me, it's not life or death. It's real. It's not a game. It's people dying and going to hell tonight as I speak. This is real life. A lot of Christians say they believe in hell, but I wonder, if we truly believed in hell, it would cause us to cry tears for people we know who, if they don't get saved, will go there. It would cause us to want to hand out a tract or tell someone about the Lord if we truly believed about hell. Listen, there's a world that needs to hear the gospel. And if the lamp of God dies out in this church, they have no hope. This world needs the lighthouse of the local New Testament church to be burning hot, to be on fire for the Lord. May the lamp of God not go out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I am burdened. I'm concerned. Of course, I have family that I'm concerned about and burdened about. There's Christians that I know that I see signs that concern me. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Revive us again. Fill us with thy love and thy power. I pray tonight, Lord, if there's someone here that has allowed that flame to go out, that they would make a decision tonight to restart that flame. Put a light to it. Put a match to it. Restart that flame. For those who are here and that light is just flickering. It's still slightly burning, but it's just flickering. I pray that you would fan that flame and pour gasoline on it, Lord, with your word. I pray that you would inspire us and give us a passion, give us a fire, give us a fervency, not to let the light go out. You've given us so much, Lord. We want to please you. Help us tonight, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.